Hey, hey, what you say? This is Old Fashioned Gospel Show. I am Pastor Ethel Harper, and it is such a pleasure and a privilege to be, amen, with all of you this week. God bless you. It is March the 12th, 2021. I just thank God that we are this far in the year and that God is still keeping us, amen. We have a great show today. Our show is in accordance with Women's History Month, and we're talking about remarkable women of the Bible. Look, I know that sparks your interest. So go get your tea, go get your coffee, go get whatever that it is, amen, that you need to cuddle up beside, amen, your computer, your phone, your tablet, or however that you're listening to us today, because we are, amen, going to have a great show today, and we don't want you to miss any part of it. We want to hurry up and get our housekeeping out of the way. We want to get our public service announcements out of the way. This is Old Fashioned Gospel Temple Ministries. It is located at 1303 D Street, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89106. Our church services are as follows. It's every Sunday we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We also have our worship services on Sundays at 11 a.m. Would love to see those that are in the area. We have Bible study on Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. We also have our Inspirational Journey Senior Bible study every second and fourth Saturday at 1 p.m., and that is led by our own minister, Walter Spofford. We have this coming Sunday, March 14th at 3 p.m., we have our third annual Deacons Day, honoring our deacons of the church. It will be, amen, a remarkable, wonderful service. We have Elder Terry Harper, who is our deacon chairman, such a wonderful man of God. Not only is he my husband, but he truly is a man of God, and I thank God for him. And we are honoring him and his department this Sunday. We are having our Easter basket food giveaway on March 27th. The Lord say the same at 7 a.m. We need your donations to make this possible. We need non-perishable foods. If you want to help us in our endeavor to feed those that are in need for Easter, please call us at 502-715-1615 and let's schedule a time that you can bring your non-perishable foods to the church before the 27th. Also, we solicit your help to make this happen. So if you would give your best gift and go to our Cash App. Our Cash App is $OFGTM2018. We would truly be appreciative if you would just help us out to feed those that are in need for Easter, that we can give them a food basket. We also have our Winter Revival, which is coming March 25th through the 28th. March 25th through the 27th, it will be 6:30 p.m. nightly. And then on the 28th, we'll be closing out our Winter Revival at 3 p.m. And so we invite all those that can come and celebrate with us and come to the Winter Revival. Be ready to be revived. Be ready, amen, for the Lord to stir up the spirit which is in you. Amen, to give you, amen, the gumption to run on and see what the end is going to be. Amen. This has been our Old Fashioned Gospel Radio public service announcement. We thank you for listening, and now back to our program. I just thank God for the opportunity to be able to come before you today. This is Women's History Month. And so in accordance with that, we are going to be talking about remarkable women of the Bible. So I want to start out, amen, with our devotion, amen. You know that we do this. This is how that we conduct our service. We do have devotion, and then we go right in to our radio show. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this away. If your soul not anchored in Jesus, it will surely drift away. Well, there's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this away. If your soul not anchored in Jesus, it will surely drift away. Well, drift away, drift away, oh, it will surely, yes, drift away. If your soul not anchored in Jesus, it will surely drift away. My God, hallelujah. My God, let us all have our souls anchored in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't want no drifting away. Amen. Hallelujah. Our scripture is coming from the 23rd division of Psalm. I am reading out of the King James Version Bible. If you have a different version, I promise it may have a few words different, but it does mean the same thing. Amen. Well, praise God. The word reads thus, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his holy word. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come before such a great amount of people. Father God, we thank you, Father God, Lord, that you have prepared the way, Father God. Lord, I'm asking you now that you let me decrease, let your spirit increase. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to let your Holy Spirit come. And please, Father God, Lord, let your Holy Spirit open up our understanding, open up our hearts, that, Father God, we receive what is said today, that, Father God, that we take it, Father God, internally, and that we are reminded that, Father God, that you love us. You love us so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. But not only did you do that, Father God, Lord, you raised him up, that, Father God, one day soon and very soon he's coming back again, Lord. And I just thank you, Father God. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise, all the honor and the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank God. Amen and amen. Well, amen. Let's get on to these remarkable women of the Bible. The first lady up, we're going to talk about Mary of Nazareth, okay? Mary of Nazareth, we know, was the wife of Joseph and the mother of Jesus, okay? We know that Mary conceived Jesus. Amen. It says that the Holy Spirit passed over her. Amen. And she was a virgin. Joseph did not touch her until that Jesus was born. Okay? I can't imagine what she went through being a Galilean Jewish woman of Nazareth, and she was found pregnant before that her and her husband consummated the marriage. I can't even believe what she went through. But, you know, another thing is, you know, that I have to truly believe that Joseph believed what the angel told him. You know, I have to believe that the angel, I mean, that Joseph, you know, had some weight to bear in this too. Because Joseph could have went out and said bad things about her. He could have said some things about her that would cause attention to have been brought to her. But I thank God that Joseph believed, amen, that he believed in God and he believed what the angel had come and told him. I thank God that Joseph kept it in him. And not for sake of, you know, the world wants to say it was a dirty little secret. It was not a dirty secret. It was something that he kept in his heart. Mary kept it in her heart. When the angel talked to Mary and told her that she would be the one that would bear the Savior of the world. I like what she said in Luke 1 and 38, and it says, and Mary said, again, I'm reading out of the King James Version Bible, it says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And then it says, and the angel departed from her. So she accepted the call. She accepted what it was that she was told that was to happen. If I turn it to today, if I think about what would have happened today, if something like this would have happened and a young woman was said that she had a baby being a virgin, no one touched her, I could only imagine the stuff that she would go through, all of the conflict, all of the talk that she would have to endure because of this thing, because of course it would get out. Today, you know, there's Facebook and Instagram, there's YouTube, you know, they got all these media sources that you can get, you know, stuff out to. And tell somebody's business, but look at the ramifications that she had to go through. Think about all of the stuff that she had to keep on the inside of her, that she had to ponder to herself, that out of her would come the Messiah, out of her would come something so precious. You know that think about what. And who he was, my God. I mean, Jehovah the Father had told her that she would have this son. I mean, I can't even think about that. You know, my mind is too small because, I mean, but I know that it would be a grandiose thing for somebody to come and tell us that out of us would come something so precious and something so powerful. And, you know, and meaningful. It is mind boggling when you think about what Mary took on, you know, being 14 years old, a young woman and all of the things that she had to, you know, keep to herself, all of the things that her and Joseph could not speak to other people. I mean, think about it. I mean, if they had went to the Pharisees, you know, if they had went to the Sadducees of that time and told them of what was going on, they probably would have been laughed to scorn. I mean, if you think about all of the things that, you know, that they would have had to say, you know, about, you know, what was going on. You know, it wouldn't have been nice for them. But I thank God that God did choose Mary. I thank God that he chose the right one, that he chose her. And she did conceive Jesus, and that Jesus was born to save this world. My God, What a remarkable woman. Now we're going to move on to Ruth. Ruth is a biblical character. Ruth, who after being widowed, remains with her husband's mother, right? We're told that in Ruth, the first chapter, 16th verse, it says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Verse 17 says, "Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught be death part thee and me." Verse 18 says, "When she saw," this is Naomi, says, "When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her." Ruth had made, she had made a pact with her. She told her that she wouldn't leave her, that if anything other than death, parted them from being together, you know, she said, let the Lord do so to me and more, right? If death, was not the reason why they parted, my God. When I think about this, this is a heavy pact. This is a heavy word that Ruth said to Naomi. Think about that today. Think about today. We have so much going on with mother-in-laws. You hear people. They make fun about it on the TV. Or you have friends that say, they don't like their mother-in-laws or their father-in-laws. They have, problems with them. If I was to take this today, and you had somebody that would say that to their mother-in-law or their mother-in-law, think about the ramifications of people it would be the talk of the town. Oh, this girl said, that wherever I go, she's going to go. And, whatever God that I serve, we have to be careful of what join ourselves up to. Ruth joined herself to her mother-in-law, but she knew what kind of woman that her mother-in-law was. But we have a lot of women out there joining themselves up to things that are not good for them. When we think about, when we're sitting down drinking coffee or, we're, talking, at the table, at our get-togethers with our girlfriends, we ought to be talking about, us making these kind of decisions to, hook up with things that are no good for us. When you think about that, you have friends that are sitting across the table from you talking about that they're sleeping with a married man, you ought to be able, and as a Christian woman, as a woman that fears the Lord, that's the key. We should have fear of the Lord. That we ought to be able to tell our friends, listen, we ought to be able to tell our sisters, because that's what we call them, listen, it's not good, for that situation that you're in down the road. It's going to cause all kind of, confusion and hurt. We ought to be able, to say those things. But just think about what Ruth did. Ruth made a pact with her mother-in-law that lasted lifelong. And it's so beautiful. We ought to learn what love is. That's true love. When somebody loves you like that, they love you enough that they're willing to follow you to the end. That's what our lives ought to exemplify. They ought to exemplify Jesus. And people ought to want to follow you to the end. They ought to want to join themselves with you because you represent Jesus. They see the Jesus in you, and that's what they want to be hooked up with. Amen. The next remarkable woman that we're going to talk about today is Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. It is so many stories that have been talked about Mary Magdalene. Some of them say that she is the woman that was brought in an adultery situation before Jesus, and Jesus drew a line in the sand and stood up and said, "Whoever is has never sinned, you can throw the first stone." They wanted to stone her. And it says that all of them had to drop their rocks and they had to walk away because they all knew that they were guilty of sin. Then it also says, it has been reported that this is the same Mary Magdalene that Christ cleansed her of seven demons. Regardless of whom that this woman was, Mary Magdalene did exist. Mary Magdalene, she financially aided Jesus. We know that because she was there. She put her money in the bag before the crucifixion of Jesus. She helped, minister unto the people. And what I mean by minister, that means take care of them when they needed to eat or anything. She was following Jesus wherever that he went, right? The one thing that we know that Mary Magdalene did is that before Jesus Christ's crucifixion, she took her alabaster box, and she broke it and poured the special perfume or the ointment that she had, and she wiped Jesus' feet with it. She put it on his feet, and then the Bible says that she wiped it clean with her tears. Right? We know that it says she took her hair and wiped his feet with her tears. And so I say to you, this is, we always talk about being at Jesus' feet. We always talk about, this story of what she did and how marvelous that it was. If you go in Matthew, the 26th chapter, we find this story being talked about, that he's anointed by her with ointment, and it is something else. We are told that Judas Iscariot spoke up and said, that they could have took that ointment and sold it for much, right? That's what he tells Jesus, right? But this is one thing that I want you to take from this. No matter what she did, no matter what the occasion is that she had done before, whatever that she had been found guilty of, whether that it was that she was found in an adulterous situation, whether that she was cleansed of those demons. This is what Jesus, and mind you, is in red. This is what Jesus said about her in Matthew 26:13. It says, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Whatever that she had done, that had already been wiped away. I like that, we're told in the Bible that our sins, right, are forgiven and they're thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be, brought up again, never to be remembered again. And so she doesn't have to worry about her past, but, Christ is telling her, what you do now, will be talked about, for a memorial of what that you've done. And I say to all of us, we have to remember that all of us have a past. All of us have something in the past that we have done. All of us have situations in our life that come up, you know, and we are reminded of where that we come from. But I say to you today, God doesn't hold that to you. God is not looking at who you used to be. God is looking at who you are now. And so hold on to that. Hold on to remembering that no matter what that we've done, that's all in the past. God is worried about what you're doing now. What are you doing for the Lord today? What have you done for the Lord lately? You know, and I can't imagine. I mean, she was sorrowful for what she had done in her life, and she came and anointed his feet. But what Jesus said, that it was a good work that she had done because she was preparing him for his burial. And then, you know, it's such a beautiful story. I mean, if you read it, go to Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 1 through 13. You'll find that it is really, it's something for us to think about, that we don't need to be in the past. Worry about today. All we have is today. And what are we doing today for the kingdom? What are we doing to advance the kingdom? What are we doing to help those that were like us or are like who we used to be, right? Who are trying to come out of, you know, what they're in. They're trying to, you know, be better and do better. What are we doing to help them, you know? And that's just, you know, that's something to ponder, amen, about a remarkable woman called Mary Magdalene. Okay, now we move on to Rachel. Rachel, we're told, was one of Jacob's two wives, right? Jacob was tricked by Rachel's father, right? And he was tricked into marrying Leah and Rachel. But the Bible says that that he loved, okay, he loved Rachel. That Rachel, he loved Rachel so much that he was willing to work, amen, for whatever it took for him to have Rachel, right? We know that. We know that throughout, you know, all of the things that he had to endure in order to have Rachel as his wife. He said that, you know, that he ought to marry the oldest daughter first, and then he could have, you know, Rachel. And so he did that. And then, you know, the Bible tells us that over in Genesis, the 30th chapter, it talks about how that she was barren for a long time when that Leah was having children. And then the handmaid and Rachel's handmaid, you know, had children. But it says that God remembered Rachel, right? In verse 22, it says, God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened up her womb, and she conceived and bare a son. After all of the reproach that she was getting from her older sister, from all the reproach that she was getting from her handmaid, all of the reproach that, you know, she was getting from Leah's handmaid also, you know, God finally heard her, and she had a son. And we know that that was Joseph, right? That's the same Joseph that was taken and was thrown into a pit, right? We know that. And you had a brother, Benjamin, right? That Rachel, the Bible says that in childbirth, Rachel lost her life, giving birth to Benjamin. But think about what Rachel had to endure, watching other people advance. She had to watch Leah and her handmaid, and then she had to watch, I think her name was Bilhah. Now I want to make sure that I'm saying that right. Yeah, that she took her handmaid. Bilhah, amen, Bilhah. And they're having children and she's not able to have children. My God, I can't even imagine how that made her feel. But listen, you know, all of it, if we look at the whole story of Rachel, God still gets the glory. Why? Because Joseph is born and Benjamin is born. And we know that Israel, their father, right? Israel, which is Jacob. Israel blesses Joseph and Benjamin. And we know the story of, you know, what Joseph goes on to do. We know what Joseph, you know, even though that his brother said that, you know, he was dead, his father finds out that he's alive. All this stuff happens, but it's for the glory of God. It was so that his family and that Israel would be saved from the famine that took place. And God has a reason for every story. If we look at Rachel's story, God had a reason for that. God had an ultimate reason for everything that happened. And I say to you that God has an ultimate reason for your life. Whatever that you're going through, if you feel that, are going through similar situations or you're having trouble in your life, I need you to know that God has an ultimate result of what's going to happen and why you're going through what you're going through. I like that what Jesus told his disciples when, he had to tell them that everything is not unto death. You know, it's so that God can get the glory. I know that what you're going through might seem hard. It might seem terrible right now. It might seem, you know, too heavy to bear. But I say to you, God will not put more on you than you can bear. It may seem like it now, but I want you to know that there is a reason. There is a light shining at the end of that tunnel. There is a rainbow that's coming for you. That, you know, there will be better days. Just hold on, like Rachel did. Hold on and trust and believe. Keep praying. You know, you have a lot of people that say, but I prayed, but nothing happened. Keep praying. Rachel continued to pray. She prayed until that God heard her. And it says that God remembered her. God will remember you in your situation. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Keep on believing. And you will have, amen, what your heart desires. Amen. Now on to Hannah, a remarkable woman called Hannah. Hannah was one of the two wives of Elkanah. The other wife is Peninnah. Amen. I'm praying that I'm not killing it. Amen. Peninnah. And Peninnah was giving birth to children, and Hannah was not. Here we go. Another situation of a situation where there was barrenness in the family, that Hannah was barren, and Peninnah was birthing children to Elkanah. But the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel, the first chapter, that Elkanah, just like Jacob loved Rachel, Elkanah loved Hannah. You know, he loved her more, right? So, but yet she was childless. Here goes another situation of her praying to the Lord, her entreating the Lord, her, you know, trusting that God would answer her prayer, that God would give her, a child, that God would, you know, heal her womb, and that he would birth in her, that child that she had been longing for. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son." This records that God did hear her prayer, and she called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." She asked the Lord for Samuel, and God gave her Samuel. You know, we have to remember that prayer works. Some of us forget, amen, that all in the Bible that we are told that, you know, that prayer is how that we talk to God. That prayer is so essential. I mean, we can't give up. The Bible says that man ought to always pray. I say, woman, you need to always pray. You need to always believe. You need to always trust God. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't listen to the world. The world wants to tell you that you're barren and that's how that you will be for the rest of your life. Even doctors may may come in and their report is that you're barren and that your womb is shut up. But God has the final word. And God, if it is God's will and you continue to pray and ask God, and it is his will to open your womb will be open and you will bring forth whatever it is that God has purpose for you. And so have faith like Hannah, have faith like Rachel, that God can do just what his word says that he can do. His word will not come back to him void. I promise you that. That's what his word says. It won't come back to him void. It must go and complete and do what it is that he has purpose for it to do. And I say to you, remember Hannah, when things get tough, when things seem like they're barren in your life, when it seems like things are shut up to you, remember that Rachel and Hannah prayed and God heard them and gave them what it was that they were praying for. Now we're going to talk about a remarkable woman named Eve. We know that Eve was Adam's wife. We know that Eve is the very first woman created. She was created by God, taking a rib from Adam's side and making Adam a companion. We know that Eve was conceived because Adam was given dominion over the earth. He was given a dominion to name the animals. And he began to see that there was male and female, that there were was created for the other, but he didn't have one. And so the Bible says that, you know, God put him to sleep and took a rib from his side and made Eve, right? And she became his helpmeet, right? And all of us forget, you know, we forget about that woman was made for man. That we, amen, that though that we say that we can make it without a man, though that a man says that he can make it without a woman, okay, we were made for each other. Now, that being said, let me quickly go and say this. When the Bible talks about that man has taken the natural occurrence of what that God created, it's not supposed to be man with man, and it's not supposed to be woman with woman. A woman was made for man, and man, amen, for the woman, amen. And that the Bible talks about that they've taken the natural order of things and made it to where man can lay with man and that woman can lay with woman. This is not right, okay? Not in the eyes of God. God is not cool with that, okay? I need to say that and get it out there. I love all of you, no matter what your choices in life are. But the Bible is clear that I must, amen, hate the sin, but love the person. And I love you. I love those that are in lifestyles that do not, amen, that do not meet what God made them. I love you, but I hate the sin that you're in. And I pray that God takes the scales off of your eyes that you can see that sin and that you are healed of it and that you do, amen, walk, amen, after what it is that God said that you should walk after, that you should, amen, observe those things that God has put in his word that we must do in order to make it, amen, into the kingdom. My brother, my sister, do not err, amen. Sin is sin, and we are told that the wages of sin is death, amen, but the gift of God is eternal life, amen. But we know that Eve was tricked by Satan, him being in the garden, amen. He was a serpent, amen. That means that serpents talk. Yes, they did. Was it strange? Did the Bible would have said that it would have made a reference to that being strange that a serpent was speaking to her? It was not strange to her because she listened. Satan knew that she was the weaker of the two vessels. You don't think that Satan knows that you are the lady, a woman, a young woman that I'm speaking to of the two vessels? That's why he's always trying to say stuff to us or put stuff on our mind that, you know, we end up, you know, making the wrong choices and it causes separation in our life. Satan doesn't want a man and a woman to build a family built on love and built on Christ, because that's what the Lord is all about. I mean, they asked Christ, what is the greatest commandment? And he told them, he said, the first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, right? That's what he said, right? And then he said the other one is just like it, right? Is to love your neighbor as yourself, right? We have to remember that love reigns supreme. It talks about that if we have all this stuff in the world, but we don't have love, it's just like just like brass, right? Just like cymbal, right? A cymbal, you know, it's made out of brass. And that's all that it is. It's no good. And so if we don't have love, and Satan doesn't want love in the family, Satan wants to break up, you know, a husband and wives, and wants to break up the family unit. We can't do that. That's why we've got to not lean to our own understanding, but we've got to trust God in everything. We've got to give it over to him. We've got to put it all in his hands. We've got to let him lead us. You know, when we understand that Eve was created for a need, right? And I say to you, woman, today, you were created for a need. Amen. Some man, amen, is worthy to have you. Some man is worthy have someone like you, because God made you for somebody. And I just say to you, don't forget about Eve. Don't forget that she was the mother of us all. Though that they made mistakes, and though that those mistakes got them put out of the garden, just remember that Genesis 3:15 tells us that Satan doesn't win. So even though that your marriage might be rocky, even though
that your friendship may be on the rock. Listen, I say to you, trust God, pray, seek God in everything. Ladies and gentlemen, abstinence is the best policy. Do not, amen, don't get involved in something, right, that you can't control. Stop having midnight rendezvous, okay, and then lying to everybody that, you know, you're not having sex. I mean, I said it. I mean, I got to. Because, listen, ladies, men, we have to understand. God said that it's better to marry than it is to burn. Do not indulge in a situation that you are not ready. Don't indulge in a situation that you're not ready to deal with the results of. Because if you go over and you begin to fornicate, if you begin, amen, to go down that road, and know that there are circumstances, repercussions, and stuff that will happen, when you go down that road, you may get pregnant, maybe a single mom, you know, having to take care of kids. All of this stuff happens when you go down that road, but it's so much better to just wait on God to bring you your husband or your wife. Abstain from sex, you know, abstain from it, stay away from it until that you're ready, and that's in marriage. Amen. I said it. Amen. I'm not taking it back. Then there's Deborah, okay, a remarkable woman called Deborah, who we know was a prophet and a heroine in the Old Testament. We often talk about Deborah, amen, judging between palm trees, that, you know, she said, if I can't be where God, you know, I believe that God has called me to be. Look, I do my job right here between these palm trees. And I just say to you, amen, we have some remarkable, powerful women in the Bible that we can look and see that they were powerful. Deborah told Barak, right? She told Barak that because that she had to go with him, because that he would not go and do what it is that the Lord told him to do, that a woman would take, right? That a woman would be honored instead of him, right? And so I say to all of us, if God has called you and you have a problem, somebody's telling you that because that you're a woman, that you're not able, amen, to do whatever it is, it may be something, it may be called into the ministry, it may be whatever it is, whatever that God has called you to do, like there are a lot of women that I know that are in the ministry, that whether that they're, God has called them to preach, or God has, called them to praise dance, or whatever it is that God has called them to do. You have to know that God called you for such a time as this. We are coming so close. I mean, I know that the time is coming. The end times are so close. They're here. The tribulation is so, I mean, it's like it's licking at the door. It's here. And we have to be careful. We have to realize that God already knows. God already prepared the way for us. God already knows everything that we need. He knows what it is that that we must do in order, amen, that these things don't just come upon us. That's why we have to watch, fight, and pray. We gotta remember these remarkable women. These women were born into the world that they had, and that their stories are there so that we can gain strength, that we can come to the knowledge to understand that you and I, we were made for a purpose. Before the foundation of the earth, God already had it in his mind, amen, about you. He knows that you're imperfect. He knows that you are not, amen, that you're not worthy, amen. But yet, through his decision and to love you and in his decision to send his son to the earth, You are called worthy. You know, you are adopted into the family. You are given the opportunity that yes, you matter. Lady, woman, young girl, daughter, God has a job for us to do, all of us. He has something for us to do. Every day that you wake up, it is your duty to find out your purpose, what God has for you. Every day that we work up, you have meaning in this life. As long as that God wakes you up, you have a purpose, and it's for us. Okay? We've been given a roadmap, and that's the B-I-B-L-E. We've got to study that thing. We've got to keep studying God's word. We've got to keep hiding that word in our heart that we can do like David said, that we won't sin against the Lord, that we'll continue to remember all of the sacrifices that was made for us, all of the things that God is doing, that we can have a right to the tree of life, and that more abundantly. My sister, my brother, if you are with me today, I trust that something was said. I trust that something was said that would prick your heart, that if you don't know Jesus, that you can get to know him today. You can take these very few seconds out or these minutes to say, you know, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know more about you. You made these remarkable women, and I know that you can make something wonderful in me. My brother, my sister, I say to you, you can know him today. And if you truly want to know him, bow your head and repeat after me. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Come into my life and cleanse me of my unbelief. I believe in you and in salvation through the blood of Jesus. I turn from sin and trust in Jesus alone as my Savior. Come and be the Lord of my life. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I promise you, in Luke 15, it says that all the angels in heaven are rejoicing over you, that you accepted the Lord today. Now, I say to you, my brother, my sister, get into a Bible-believing church. Get into a Bible-teaching church. Don't sit down on God, right? Because he wouldn't sit down on you, right? Be that kind of believer, amen, that is ready to work in the vineyard. Be that kind of believer that's ready, amen, to do whatever it is that the Lord needs you to do. This has been Old Fashioned Gospel Radio. Amen. I pray that you'll meet us again on next Friday. And to God be the glory. Until we meet again, we bid you adieu.